May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I was going to share again today from the scripture in John 3 yesterday, but I'm going to do that tomorrow. From another place in John, we talk so much again here about revival. And we're living in a city that's experiencing revival in its early stages, but it's real. But I'm constantly reminded myself, and therefore constantly reminding others, that revival is a personal issue first and foremost. It involves persons. It's not just revival on the land or place. It's revival on the people of that place. And it has to start with just persons and individuals. And so the thing that you have responsibility for is to make sure that you in your own personal life are walking in perpetual revival. We've said this a lot lately at CTK. It's not just getting you filled, but getting you filled so you can stay filled. Jesus, as the Son of Man, it says the Spirit of God landed on him, the dove landed on him and remained on him. And that's what we're after. As a matter of fact, I forget if it's Luke 4:1 or Matthew 4:1, but it says Jesus continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we're after a revival that's ever one that's renewable. We want to see it experienced here geographically so it's constantly, it's sustainable. I don't want to just tell a story 20 years from now, or my sons tell a story 30 years about now, about the revival that lasted 5 or 10 years in Selma. That's really where most modern revivals, that's what you do. There should be a constant experience. What we call revival, Jesus calls normal. And revival is God, all just different times throughout history in a geographical area, elevating them back to normal. What's been difficult is for the church to sustain that. That's also true on a personal level. So when we hear the word revival, we're just talking about living, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Living a Spirit-filled life, not just having a Spirit-filled testimony about the day you got filled with the Spirit. But it has to start somewhere. There has to be this moment, this crisis, and then there's this process of walking it out. And one of the best places in John chapter 7 is Jesus is standing on the last day, which is really the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the whole Feast of Tabernacles has been about God providing water in the wilderness. And the water symbolically and prophetically representing the day when the Messiah would come. And they would live in perpetual renewal, perpetual revival as a people. And so they've been practicing thirsting, declaring they were thirsty and thirsty and thirsty for 7 days. That was the whole theme. And on that last day, if these people have been doing this for an entire week, Jesus stands up in the midst of them and says in verse 37, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying," and again, this is repeatedly saying, he said, "If anyone is thirsty," not just a few or those who've done it right to this point or who have a better history or don't have a bad history, who aren't full of weakness and brokenness. As I mentioned yesterday, it's in the devotional today. 6 different times in the Song of Solomon, Jesus refers to us as his sister and bride. His sister because he identified with our humanity. Jesus came to make his bride forever. He chose to come in pursuit and paid a great price to choose a bride that would need forgiveness, mercy, and transformation. That's great encouragement to me. He's not shocked at my humanity and my frailty and my weakness. And so that's why I love this. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And this is really kind of the process laid out first. Again, the language here is present tense. Let him just keep coming to me. Let us keep drinking from me. The word drinking is about faith. Let him just keep coming to me and drawing from my life again and again and again. Because we always are thirsty. We're always confronted with our need and our own frailty and our weakness, our need for the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to have victory over sins reign in us, in ministry and all those kind of things. But I love this, what it says. And God just reminded me of this morning. He says in verse 38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." That's a Spirit-filled life. That's a sustained life of revival. That you come to him moment by moment, exposing every temptation, every situation, every circumstance, every responsibility, every pressure, to him. Christian life is a hymn. I've said this before. This is a hymn book, H-I-M. Christianity isn't a what. It's a who. It's a person. When John, in Romans chapter 7, Paul said, who, not what shall deliver me from this body of death. He didn't say what formula or the latest paperback or the greatest newest conference. He said, who? There's a person who sets us free. Thanks be to God through Christ our Lord, he says. Christianity is a person. There's only one person who can live the Christian life. His name is Jesus. He could have stayed in heaven and cheered you on, but he's come to live inside of you, to complete you with his very presence, because he alone can live the victorious Christian life. That's the most important thing you'll ever learn in all your life, other than Jesus died for your sins and you get born again. So he said, people who just come to me again and again, moment by moment, and he says, he who believes in me, and then by faith, just receiving all that he is, laying everything that we have at his feet in faith. But then he goes and he says this, but this he spoke of the Spirit, whom whom those who believed him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, I think that's one of those perpetual principles in the kingdom of God. That wasn't just a foretelling of Pentecost. It's the foretelling of every person's Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fills those thoroughly in whom Jesus has been glorified. And this is the simple word I wanted to share today. So you can't draw from his life daily, coming to him again and again, and by faith receiving all that he is for all that you need in every situation and circumstance, unless you've first been filled with the Holy Spirit. There's got to be that place. And sometimes we have to come back to that place again. We've sort of frailtied ourselves. We've sort of leaked out. We come back again and we remember the truth. What's happening here? The Spirit's not given if Jesus isn't glorified. When was Jesus glorified? At the ascension. And what happened in his ascension? He was enthroned. Jesus says about him in Romans 14:9 that he came that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. We've said this over the years, that if you want to experience living through you the life of the Lord, that he's got to reign in you as the Lord of your life. In every place that I read about, and again, one of my favorite revivals was the Shantung revival in northern China, that most of them were Baptist and Presbyterian missionaries who were just rocked in the Spirit. Many have called it the greatest revival in modern history, more than the Welsh revival. It lasted 10 years that you could see until the Japanese invaded China. It was so important, God's preparation for those dark years of Japanese occupation and now communist occupation, that the church has thrived. So millions, 100 million Christians, at least, some say 300 million Christians in China, all owe it to the Shantung revival. And they always did it this way. This was always the process, is that first, to get filled with the Spirit, go before the Lord and receive cleansing. You only fill that which is clean, and own everything that the Holy Spirit shows you to own. To bring everything into order that needs to be brought into order, and to take care of any restitution needs to be taken care of. And then, after you've transferred your sins to the foot of the cross, then you place the old man by faith where Jesus has already taken him, to the place of death. You let go the old self, independent self's right to run your life. And you enthrone Jesus as Lord of your life on your heart. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit will just fill them in a profound way. Then you can live day by day, coming in again and again, thirsting and drinking. And if you find yourself empty, you go back and say, Holy Spirit, is there some place I've grieved you? Because you see, it's the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus real, right? And then what it says in the Upper Room Discourse, it's the Holy Spirit that emphasizes Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that glorifies Jesus. So this principle is always true. If you want the Holy Spirit to fill your life so that rivers of living water can come forth from your life, then Jesus has to be enthroned on your heart. Because the Holy Spirit's not given where Jesus is not glorified. You can get tapped, bounce off the floor. That's going to last until you get out of the door or when the emotions go away. But if you want to have a filling that releases rivers of living water, Jesus has to be glorified. It's just the way it works. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.